Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on homosexuality.
This week we are doing an in-depth study of the subject of homosexuality. In our last study, we looked at Genesis chapter 18 and chapter 19 of the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah. And those that are trying to promote the homosexual agenda within the church are reinterpreting this portion of Scripture and are saying that it is because of one of three reasons why the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. One, because of the general wickedness, or two, because of the sin of rape, or three, because of inhospitality. In our last study, we disproved the idea that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of inhospitality, which was an easy thing to do. We simply looked at 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, and Jude verse 7, which are both commentaries on this portion of Scripture, which speak of the immorality, the sexual perversion that existed within the community. In this study, I want to disprove two other ways that this passage has been interpreted by those that are trying to say that homosexuality is accepted within the Scriptures. Some have taught that in Genesis chapter 19, when the men of the city surrounded Lot's house and they wanted to come in to know the angels, as the Bible says, and to know these men that were in Lot's household, some want to interpret that, this word know, it means to interrogate. And I want to read verse 5. It says, "And they called to Lot and said to them, 'Where are the men who came to you tonight? Bring them out to us that we may know them.'" And the New King James Version adds the word "to know them carnally." And that word is supplied because it is not in the original Hebrew. The actual word is the word yadah, which means to know. And it has a wide variety of meanings within the Scripture. Now, those that are trying to show that homosexuality is acceptable in the Bible say that this word needs to be interpreted simply to mean to know, or what they say is that these men wanted to interrogate these men to see if they were spies. And they deny the idea that this word to know means to know sexually. Well, the three most important rules for interpreting the Bible are first, context, second, context, and third, yes, context. So a word only has meaning in its context. And so let's look at what the context says, or how this word should be interpreted or understood. Does it really make sense that what these men are saying, "Lot, send these men out here because we want to know them. We want to see if they are spies. We want to interrogate them"? I think that interpretation is easily refuted by simply reading the Scriptures, verse 7 and verse 8 of Genesis 19, which says, "Please, my brethren, do not do so wickedly." Why is it so wicked to interrogate individuals to see if they are spies? But verse 8 makes it even more clear. "See now, I have two daughters who have not known a man." Speaking of virgin daughters. He's not saying that these daughters have not interrogated a man. That means that they have not been with men sexually, and it uses the word "have not known." "Please let me bring them out to you that you may do to them as you wish. Only do nothing to these men, since this is the reason they have come under the shadow of my roof." And so Lot's response doesn't make sense if he says, "Here, have these two virgin daughters of mine and do to them what you wish." Why would they want to interrogate these daughters? Obviously, the word "to know" here in the context means to know them sexually. Actually, Moses uses this word earlier in the book of Genesis in chapter 4, verse 1, in the same way. It says, "Now Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I have gotten a man-child from the Lord.'" So here the same word yada is used, and it doesn't mean "and Adam interrogated his wife and a child was born to them." It means he knew her intimately, sexually, and the result was the offspring of Cain. So the word is used within the Scriptures to know sexually, and the context determines that. In chapter 4 it is clear, as well as in Genesis chapter 19 it is extremely clear. Another way that this portion of Scripture has been interpreted in Genesis 19 is that the reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah is due to the sin of this gang rape that was going to take place. Some will admit, well, yes, they did want to know them sexually, and that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. But once again, the context refutes that idea. Simply because God has already determined to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah before Genesis 19 even takes place. Remember, he reveals to Abraham what he's going to do, and Abraham begins to pray and ask, well, if there's even 10 righteous, would you destroy it? And God said, "I'd spare it for 10 righteous." So he sends the angels in there to rescue Lot and his family, because this city is bound for destruction, not for this sin that happened in chapter 19, but the ongoing wickedness, the ongoing evil that was within this community. And so it is not accurate to teach that the sin is gang rape. Now, as we looked in our study last week, the acceptable, believe it or not, interpretation of this passage is that the sin is inhospitality, and that is why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah here. But once again, we point out the idea that this sin is already bound for destruction before this event happens. But I'm sure you must be asking, how is it that anyone could read Genesis 18 and 19, come up with the idea that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah for the sin of inhospitality? Well, the reason for this interpretation is found in Ezekiel chapter 16 and verse 49, which is a comment on the reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 49 says this, "Look, this was the iniquity of your sister Sodom. She and her daughter had pride, fullness of food, and abundance of idleness. Neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and the needy." Now, I'm sure as you read that, you have to think, did God really destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because of pride, fullness of food, abundance of idleness, and they neglected the poor and needy? Did God really rain fire and brimstone out of the sky due to that fact? Well, the homosexual groups that want to try and say homosexuality is acceptable in the church point to this verse. And I actually remember a few years back listening to the radio on a Christian station where the host invited those that were part of a homosexual church and were trying to reason from the scriptures and saying, this is why our lifestyle is acceptable. And they said the sin of Sodom and Gomorrah, they also had this novel interpretation. It's inhospitality. And they quoted verse 49. And I remember thinking that seems a little extreme that God would rain fire and brimstone because of these sins. But once again, you just simply need to read verse 50 of Ezekiel chapter 16, which says this, "And they were haughty, and look at this, and committed abomination before me. Therefore, I took them away as I saw fit." So it wasn't only for the fullness of food, the pride, the abundance of idleness, the poor, or the neglect of the poor and the needy, but because they committed abominations. And that word abomination is used in the book of Leviticus to describe homosexuality. God says when a male lies with another male, it is an abomination. So these interpretations do not find any acceptance within the scriptures. Now, doesn't it make sense to you that as you look at Genesis chapter 19, that these men that wanted to come in and rape the guest of Lot that were acting in an inhospitable way? I'll have to give you that. That was very inhospitable, but isn't that a great understatement? That's like saying that a man that drove down the street near a school that just got out in a 25-mile-an-hour zone was traveling down that street at 100 miles an hour and killed three or four people in the process, that we would say he's a bad driver. Obviously, that's an understatement. And so to say that the people of Sodom and Gomorrah were inhospitable to Lot's guests is an extreme understatement. So once again, we must go to other passages of the scripture to look and see why it is that God says that he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And he says it's because it's an abomination. And as one reads the two passages in the book of Leviticus, we see that God describes homosexuality as an abomination. That once again fits what Ezekiel, verse 49 and verse 50, describe as the reason God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 20 says this, "Moreover, you shall not lie carnally with your neighbor's wife to defile her with you. And you shall not let any of your descendants pass through the fire to Molech, nor you shall profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. You shall not lie with a male as with a woman. It is an abomination." And then also in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, reads this way, "If a man lies with a male as he lies with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them." So in the law of God, God says that it's an abomination. And so that's the reason the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, not because of inhospitality or greed or neglect of the poor only, but because of the abominations that were committed. And we find in Leviticus that homosexuality, a male lying with another male, is an abomination. And actually, those that committed this sin were immediately put to death. God said their blood shall be upon them, and the penalty of that sin was the death penalty. So you could see God's heart is consistent in that he destroyed these two cities because of an abomination, the sin of homosexuality. And then when he gave the law to Moses and placed that upon the nation of Israel, they were to follow these commands. And here he says homosexuality is an abomination and the penalty is death for those that commit such sin. So it's clear within the scripture, God's heart and God's attitude towards this particular sin. There is no way that these passages can be manipulated to justify the sin. Now, I'm not talking about the subject trying to exclude anyone from the kingdom of God, because anyone that will repent and receive Jesus Christ and Lord and Savior will be cleansed of any and all of their sin, including homosexuality or rape or immorality or murder or theft or whatever it is. But those that want to stand in the church and say that this sin is acceptable to God are misapplying the scriptures, are twisting them, as Peter says, as some are twisting Paul's scriptures to their own destruction. And so we need to be ready to give them an answer of the hope that lies within us, not compromising the word of God in any way, but telling them the truth. Yes, speaking the truth in love, but in no way compromising it, leading them to eternal life that's found only in Jesus Christ. So my prayer is that you would take the words and the studies that we're looking at and use them now as truth to be able to go out and rescue those that are trapped and caught in the sin, and to be able to refute those who are trying to justify their position from the scriptures. May God bless your efforts in that process.